Welcome to the Reseller Entrepreneur, the podcast for reseller hobbyists eager to turn reselling into a successful business. Learn from Mike and other reseller entrepreneurs as they share their experiences and tips on running an online business. Here's your host, Old Fashioned Mike.
Welcome to the show. Thanks for joining. So I am here. I am in Florida. I have moved everything. I've set up my warehouse. I might be a little bit echoey here because I don't have carpets in my new studio. I'll change that soon enough. But, you know, all the bins are set up. All my stuff is here. Nothing broke, which is really good. And I've learned a few things in this process. I'll tell you something. It's a bit of a gut check. I think I've said this before, but I'm finding out some stuff about eBay that I didn't really believe, but now I do. And let me tell you what those are. First, if you put yourself on an extended vacation, and you, which the vacation mode does work, your sales will slow. People will see that you're not shipping out for about a week. And I think if it's a few days, people will wait, but people do not order from you if they see that you're not going to ship for 10 days. 2 or 3 days, no problem. 10 days, it is a problem. My sales have never been slower. And it's a little bit scary moving myself down here and looking at my sales just plummet while I was gone. Not very, very, not very good feeling. So it just really points out that it's better to have systems and employees around you to do your shipping while you're gone. Now, in this case, it's a little bit of an extenuating circumstance, of course. And, obviously, you know, I moved. So it's not like I could have somebody ship something if it's on a truck. So it's a little bit different. But I will tell you, sales did come in. I sold probably about half of what I normally would sell in that time, which is really kind of disconcerting. But, of course, my business kept on running, so it's okay. And the vacation mode does work. So that's the really good news about this. Now, I think, another thing I found is if you don't list, and I have really stopped listing for pretty much all of October. I think I've actually maybe listed 50 items, all of October so far. And that's, you know, the 17th of the month right now, which was a Sunday. I'll release on Thursday. And you'll find that if you don't list, you don't sell. And what I mean by that, and that's only if you have, low sell-through rate items, like collectibles, for instance. You're not selling, they don't have a sell-through rate of 10% like clothing does, or 8%. It doesn't have the 20 to 25% that electronics have. So it's not quite the same. If you don't list frequently on low sell-through rate items, then what's going to happen is that your sales will slow down. And so the combination of those two things have really, really wreaked havoc on my business for the last couple of weeks. And I'll tell you, I'm looking forward. I have a whole bunch of stuff I put up and I'm going to be listing like crazy over the next, 13, 14 days left in this month, 13 days. So the point is, if you don't list, you don't sell. And the vacation mode works, but long vacations mean slow sales. The third thing I've learned is that the post office really is slowed down. So I have gotten more claims running right now for stuff that hasn't shown up or stuff that's late, damaged things. And these things are, it's very, very important. Because we're coming up on Q4. Oh, this is Q4, actually. And you have to be able to rely on the post office to ship. So, make sure that when you sell, that you go up to the postal counter and have the employee there scan your items in front of you. Now, if you are using the eBay standard envelope, this doesn't apply. And of course, that's also been a bit of consternation in the last few months. The eBay standard envelope was great. It reduced costs immensely, which is fantastic. However, I've had more of these things not show up and not track ever. And then all of a sudden somebody gets it and gives me a rating, and a good rating. And what do you know? It never showed up on tracking at all. So the eBay standard envelope tracking is poor at best. The key here is that you need to understand is that it only tracks when it hits a major postal center. It's not if you live in a small city or small town and your main postal center is 100 miles away and the satellite PO doesn't scan the item, it's not going to show up in tracking until a few days later when it hits the main PO. And sometimes it won't even happen then. So it's important that you communicate with your customers so that they understand that the that you have sent it out. That's a real problem. if they don't understand that you've already sent it out and it doesn't track right away, what's going to happen? It's going to look like to the customer, not to eBay, but to the customer, that you had not actually done your job. So be very, very clear with your customer saying you're sending out the eBay standard envelope. Now I'm contemplating just going back to first class on everything. The eBay standard envelope was fantastic for a long time. But the post office has been so bad recently, that it's not, I'm not sure if I would advise sellers to use it at this point. I would, as a matter of fact, if I could send as cheap using FedEx or UPS, I would consider not even using the post office at all, but it's not an option. So, it is an option, just that it won't be profitable. So, again, use the eBay standard envelope at your own risk. Now, on a positive note, my experiment about charging shipping for everything has worked out masterfully. I have not slowed down. Well, let me say everything slowed down, but it did not slow down my sales of clothing at all. And obviously, in collectibles, it's been working with a charm, like a charm, as well. So the free shipping, that's a myth that it doesn't, that's so important, or so it seems. So we're going to continue monitoring it, but basically it has not slowed down sales any more than sales have slowed down anyway. But what I really want to talk about in this episode, so, is really honestly what's going on with me. So, I've been plodding along and planning this move for such a long time, not really realizing how much effort it was going to be, and much more importantly, what it's done psychologically to me and my business. I mean, and actually it's not helping that the sales have slowed down as well. So, I'm hoping that once I, put the effort back into, listing and putting in extra time to add more inventory, then it'll pay off. And I have plenty of inventory that I could list. So I'm actually starting that process, but everything's working, and that's helping. So I'm hoping that psychologically the stuff that I'm going through, cause I'm very isolated here, in Florida, I've left my family up north, I'm in a place that I didn't necessarily choose that I was going to live in. But I had an opportunity and I took it. I think that, hopefully everything will pay off, but I will tell you, it's a scary endeavor. It's weird because I don't get too personal on this podcast too often, but it is a very, very, sobering thing to go through a big move like this, be in a place that you thought you wanted to be in. And of course I do. It's been a week, not even a week. It's been a few days actually. So I can't really definitively say that I made a mistake, but I will tell you that, there's a lot of stuff here that's different than what I'm used to, but I'm sure it'll be okay. And everything will kind of settle in. I've been, moving around my entire life for, work. And this is no different as far as, except for, it's not for work. It's just because I'm ending up in a place that I think that I want to be. And, it's just a little bit different than I thought it was going to be. And it doesn't help that there's crap all over the place. So I'm still kind of moving in. The upside is everything works. The downside is I have to train the post office on what an eBay standard envelope is. And I'm positive that there are other eBay sellers out there, but maybe not in my space. Who knows? But change is good, and I think overall everything will be great. So I'm optimistic that you know, the move is going to work out. I know the space allows me to use a lot a lot less capital for non-performing assets, meaning rent. Rent is not really performing, like if more inventory would be, for instance. And I'm finding that it's less expensive here than Metro Boston, which, so I'm in a pretty good place as far as financially. So that's kind of helpful. I will tell you, though, you're not supposed to walk outside at night in this area because it's brand new development and there's alligator, snakes and bears and all sorts of other stuff that's here that they haven't kind of chased away quite yet. So kind of interesting is that they're encouraging people not to kind of go out and walk in non-populated areas because of wildlife, not because of people. So, but that'll change over time. And I'm right at the edge of town. And so it's, right behind me is Alligator Alley, and down Alligator Alley is exactly what it sounds like. And so it's just a completely different world for me. So didn't really expect that it would have this kind of effect on me. But, overall, I'm just going to plod through and we'll make it work. But upside is everything's working. The business is going to get back on track. I got tons of inventory. I got a list. And, my internet is up and running and everything's fine. So that's the good thing. All right. So the lesson here really is just change. Adapting to change is probably the biggest thing that you will need to have to be successful in any kind of reselling business. I mean, being able to switch products, switch locations, switch policies, shipping policies and packing policies and so on, hiring new employees, all that stuff is massive change. And if you could accommodate massive change in your business, then, you'll be successful. Really? And just know that the formula works. The formula is just more inputs equals more outputs. Want to sell more, list more. That's it. There's no secret to this, right? I mean, you have to sell good stuff and things like that, but just about anything sells on eBay. So, just keep your chin up. I mean, I'm trying to do what as best as I can to keep my chin up. I'm telling you, I might sound a little down right now because I am actually, I'm isolated here, and but that's going to change rather quickly. And my family starts to come down to this part of the country right around now, so probably in the next few weeks, they'll have a completely new disposition. But I'm bouncing around a pretty large house by myself. But, the nice thing is all my inventory's in and it looks great. So my warehouse is nicer here than it was when I was in Massachusetts. I was able to switch over the addresses to my accounts and everything's kind of copacetic. Everything's great. So, full steam ahead. I guess that's the message here. All right. So, hey, listen, I've gotten a few people asking me about the spreadsheet I talked about last episode. So I have to clear it out and I will send it to you. You just need to send me your email, and it's a Google sheet. So what I'll do is I'll send you the ability to copy it into your Gmail account, and then you should be able to use it. It's pretty self-explanatory, but I do need to clear out the data, obviously. Everything's wired. So if you put all your transactions in, it corresponds with different sections of another spreadsheet. So in other words, you can ultimately get rid of QuickBooks using this, which is great. Because QuickBooks, minimum is $20, obviously. But if you were to get an accountant that would use QuickBooks, the problem is that they start charging $200 a month. So it does help with that reduction. Plus, also more importantly, I think, is that it isn't subject to all the rules that QuickBooks puts on you. Not necessarily rules, accounting rules, because it does. you know, those are good. But sometimes QuickBooks, the person using your QuickBooks, they always want to clarify things, and they're always communicating with you. And the way they communicate, sometimes it, you know, it's a little bit, you know, difficult to kind of navigate. And even if they say, okay, thanks, then you get bugged by the QuickBooks application to answer your accountant's questions. And then you go over there and it says, okay, thanks. And that's the question. And so it's really just kind of a pain. But this spreadsheet gets rid of all that. All right. So again, you know, I mean, QuickBooks is probably better overall. And if you have the time and effort and money and so on and so forth, maybe it's something you can do. But I find that my spreadsheets are fairly accurate anyway. Just as accurate, if not more accurate than QuickBooks, because QuickBooks gives you hassle if you're off a penny or two, and you know, the IRS doesn't care if you're off a penny or two. They care if you're off of, you know, $100,000 or $200,000. They care about that. They don't care about if you're off a penny or two. So, just send me an email to mike@oldfashionedmike.com and I will make sure that you get a copy of that spreadsheet. No problem. No charge either. That's not what I'm doing it for. I'm doing it because I think it might help. All right. So this is a fairly short episode. Sorry about that. Just, you know, obviously too much stuff has gone on that is not selling related, so that you wouldn't be interested. So anyway, thanks a lot. And we will talk next week. All right. 2 weeks. Talk to you soon. Bye.
This episode has ended, but your journey towards turning your reselling hobby into a business doesn't have to. Head on over to oldfashionedmike.com for more information and tips on running a successful reselling business. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an episode. Until next time.